Hello everybody, it's me, Sir Tall 23, back with another video. Now, hold on. Okay, there we go. So, in this video, I want to, first of all, talk about something which I made recently. It's an Instagram account where I post, where I make posts on the Bible, on the scriptures. So, it's called Bible Truth 23. Just look that up. There's no spaces or underscores or anything like that. It's all one word, Bible Truth 23 on Instagram. And I make posts. I try to post maybe two or three times a week or something like that. I've only made it a couple days ago, but if you're interested, then go check that out. And I'm going to be reading from a post that I made a couple days ago on the subject of the person of Jesus Christ. And the reason why I'm doing this is because I haven't made any other scripts or anything, and I don't have my files for my old computer yet. I'm going to transfer that over later today so that I have the scripts that I prepared from before my computer broke so that I can get back into those video ideas that I had before. But until then, which will be a few days from now, because I still have work and things like that, so I might not upload as often, I'm just going to be doing this. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to do both of the posts that I made. I did Who is Jesus Christ, part one and part two. I'll probably just do part one for this video and then make another video some other time this week for part two. So let's get into this. Now, many think of Jesus Christ as simply a good teacher or a good prophet, but what does the Bible say about who Jesus is? Let's look at several titles and positions that are given to Jesus and see who he truly is. First of all, Jesus is called the Christ. Now, the Christ simply means anointed one, and that is a Greek term, Christos, which is synonymous with the Hebrew term Messiah. That's what Christ means. It means the anointed king. In John chapter 1, verse 41, it says, "He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ." Jesus was declared to be God's anointed king, the Christ, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, where it says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In Mark chapter 14, verse 61 to 62, it says, "Again the high priest asked him, and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." So they asked Jesus, "Are you the Christ?" And he says, "I am." So, of course, we know that Jesus is called the Christ all throughout the Bible, meaning that he is the Messiah. He is the king which was prophesied in the Old Testament to take the throne of David and to rule forever. That fulfills God's promise of that king that would rule on the throne of his father David forever, as prophesied in Psalm 89. Verse 19 to 29, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7, which talks about the birth of Jesus and says that his government shall have no end. Isaiah 11, verse 1 to 4 also talks about his kingdom. Jeremiah 33, verse 15 to 17 talks about the branch of righteousness which comes out of David. And then Micah chapter 5, verse 2, which talks about the one that shall be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now, secondly, Jesus is also the Son of God. As it was declared at his conception, this is the angel Gabriel speaking unto Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. It says, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, Jesus himself testified that he was the Son of God in several different ways. First of all, he called God his Father, or he said, "My Father," in several places, such as John 5:43, John 8:28, John 10:29, and 20:17. He said in John chapter 9, verse 35 to 37, "Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." So he says, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" And the man that was born blind in that chapter asks him, "Who is that, that I might believe on him?" Jesus says, "It is me. It is the one that's talking to you right now." Therefore, calling himself the Son of God. In John chapter 10, verse 30, he again says, I and my Father are one. A few verses later, verse 36, it says, Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. So Jesus clearly identified himself as the Son of God, meaning the Son of God the Father. Now John the Baptist, who was another prophet that bare witness of Jesus, he said in John 1:34, And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So there's no doubt about that. The Bible calls him the Son of God plenty of times. But the Bible also calls Jesus God in the flesh, that he himself is God. So while being the Son of the Father, he himself is God. Okay, that's the Trinity doctrine, that there's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. It says in 1 John 5:7. And the Bible says of the deity of Jesus Christ, in Romans chapter 9, verse 5, it says, Whose are the fathers, and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Hebrews 1:8 says, But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. So in that verse, the Father is speaking unto the Son. It says, Unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God. So the Father is calling the Son God. And so Jesus was not only fully man, but he was also fully God. The scriptures say in Colossians 2:9, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Godhead being divinity, the quality of being God. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was God with a flesh and blood human body as we have. I was born into this world. That's why in Matthew 1:23, it says, Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So when Jesus was on this earth, it was God with us because he was God manifest in the flesh. Since Christ is God, he is said also to be the creator of all things, and therefore has no beginning as well. John 1:1-3, it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And if you continue to read the context, that's talking about Jesus. In verse 14, it says, The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word that, according to the Bible, was God in the beginning, was the only begotten of the Father, according to verse 14. Colossians 1:15-16 teaches the same thing, and Hebrews 7:3, where it says that he was without father or without mother, and that he has neither beginning of days nor end of life, because Jesus has always existed. He's from everlasting. Now, as stated in John 1:1-3, which I just read, Christ is also the Word of God. It says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1:14, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word, which was God, is the only begotten of the Father made flesh, according to verse 14. And the context of John 1 further proves that this is talking about Jesus. For example, in the next verse, verse 15, John the Baptist is speaking. It says that John said, This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So he says very clearly that the person who he is talking about in that first little prologue of John chapter 1, that is Jesus Christ. And he is the Word, and he was in the beginning with God, and he himself was God, and he is the Word of God. Now, when Christ comes back to set up his kingdom, it is written of him again in Revelation chapter 19. It says in verse 13, And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So every word which the Lord has spoken was given unto us by the mouth of Christ, who existed in eternity past. And we already talked about that with several other scriptures. But the Bible, there's several scriptures in the Bible, such as John 1:18, where it says, No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, showing us that it is the Son, Jesus, who had declared the Father, who had spoken unto the world the things of the Father. John 7:16, where he says, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So he's saying that it's this doctrine which I'm speaking unto you comes from the Father. John 8:26 and 12:49 as well, he teaches the same thing where he says that the commandment was given unto him of the Father for what he should say and what he should speak. The words that he spoke were not his own words, but they came from the Father, and therefore he called the word of God. So since he is the one who has declared the Father and made known the God the Father from the beginning, he is called the word of God. The Bible also calls him the Son of Man. The name is used of Christ 92 times in the scriptures in the New Testament. Jesus said in Matthew 16:13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So here he clearly identifies himself as the Son of Man. This title shows the humanity of Christ. Even though he was God, he also became man. As it says in Philippians 2:5-8, Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So here it says that Jesus, even though he was equal with God, he became man, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. Romans 8:3 also teaches the same thing, that he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. So this title, Son of Man, shows that Jesus is not just the Son of God and God, but he is also the Son of Man, and he is man, because he was born of the Virgin Mary. Okay, even though God was his Father, he still was brought into this world with a flesh and blood body like our own. Now, the title Son of Man for Christ also fulfills the Old Testament prophecies of one like the Son of Man, which is given an everlasting kingdom, which we see in Daniel chapter 7. Now, this Jesus speaks about in Matthew 19:28 and chapter 25:31, where he talks about the Son of Man sitting in his kingdom. Now, Jesus Christ is also the Savior. And to be such was primarily why he became flesh, why he came into this world. As it is written in 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The reason why Jesus came into this world was to save us from our sins. As it says in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the purpose of Jesus coming into this world was to be our Savior, more particularly, or more specifically, to save us from our sins. Now, how Jesus saved us is explained in the following passage, in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So we are saved through this gospel, through this good news, this good message, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. It's Christ's death, burial, and resurrection that saves us, in that his death was the propitiation, meaning the appeasement of the wrath of God for our sins, as it says in 1 John 2:2 and Romans 3:25, and his resurrection was for our justification, as it says in Romans 4:25. So since he alone took our sins away by dying for them on the cross, he alone can save us. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then Isaiah 43:11, the Lord declares that beside me there is no Savior. Except through the Lord Jesus, there is no salvation. So, because he is our Savior. So the next title of Jesus is that he is the Holy One. In Luke 4:34, it says, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Acts 3:14, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. He's speaking to the Jews there and saying that you denied Jesus, who was the Holy One of the just, you led him to death while they let Barabbas, who was the murderer, go. Because remember, in the story of the Gospels, they had a choice on Passover of who to free. And instead of choosing Jesus, who was innocent, who had done nothing wrong, they chose Barabbas, who was a rebel and a thief and a murderer. So this title of the Holy One is a name that's used of the Lord, Jehovah, in the Old Testament. And Isaiah 47, verse 4, it says, "As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel." Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12 says, "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One?" Now the word holy means sanctified or set apart from sin. This title emphasizes Christ's righteousness and the fact that he is without sin as the Lord is, because of course Jesus is God. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 talks about that God is just and he is holy, and it says that he is without iniquity. It is written of Jesus also in 1 John 3, 5, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." 1 Peter 2:22, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." So Jesus lived a perfectly sinless life. There was no unrighteousness in him, but he is holy. He's the Holy One and the just. Another title of Jesus is our High Priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus in the New Testament is our High Priest, separate from the Levitical priesthood of the Old Testament of the Law of Moses, but rather after a different order, an eternal order. And this is mostly explained in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Hebrews 6:20 says, "Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, this shows the change in priesthood and transfer of authority unto Christ alone. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 15 to 16, it says, "And yet it is far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life." Now Jesus, since he is our high priest, is unlike any ordinary man who was the high priest in the Old Testament, as he was perfect and holy. Now Jesus, he offered one eternal sacrifice for sins. He doesn't stand at the temple or the tabernacle, such as the Levitical priests in the Old Testament, the sons of Aaron, that they would offer the blood of bulls and goats constantly. Jesus, according to the Bible, offered one eternal sacrifice for our sins, and that would be his own body and blood. It says in Hebrews 7, verse 26 to 27, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself." And for more information on that, read Hebrews chapter 4 through Hebrews chapter 9. Okay. Or actually, I guess chapter 10 goes into a little bit as well. But that whole section explains that Jesus is our high priest and what he did for us in fulfilling the Old Testament law and sacrificing himself and offering his own body and blood for our sins. And the last thing I want to talk about today, like I said, I'm just going to do one part of this, and then there's a few other titles and positions of who Jesus Christ is that I'm going to talk about in a later video. But the last thing I want to talk about today is that Jesus is our life. Jesus said that he himself is the life. It is written in John chapter 11, verse 25. It says, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth him, he shall never die." John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Bible teaches that within Jesus Christ is life. In John 1, 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And then John 5, 26 as well says the same thing. And through him alone, therefore, can we have eternal life. In 1 John 5, 12, it says, "He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." The only way to have life is through Jesus Christ, because he is the life. The Bible says, "And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life," the Bible says. Jesus said in John 17, verse 3, "And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God." He's praying unto the Father and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So without the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ, there can be no eternal life. For Jesus is eternal life. He is the Savior. So hopefully these things that I've gone over in this video have given us an understanding of who Jesus is. Of course, people who have been watching my channel for a while, people who are already Christians, I'm sure you already know some of these things. Like, some of them are pretty obvious, that he's the Christ, that he's the Son of God, that he is God in the flesh and things like that. But sometimes some people just tend to think of only those things. They don't really see how important Jesus is in the Bible. And like I said, I'm going to make a second part for this, and I'm going to continue on with several other descriptions of the person of Jesus and who he is and what he did for us. So that's it for this video. Thank you, everybody, for watching. God bless you, and goodbye.